Hi everyone, welcome to the Off The Bench podcast. Loads of FPL to discuss today. We're going to be looking at Newcastle, how good have they been? Salah, keep or sell, rise of the budget players, some three-week punts before the World Cup. It's going to be a good one. I'm your co-host, Gianni Paticci.
And I'm Andy North.
Andy, it's eventful weekend. We have to start with Newcastle though, right? What a result, but how many good FPL options are in that team? Because I don't think they're getting enough love, are they?
No, they're not. And I think a lot of people are going for their defensive assets, which I think is right, because at home, they are very, very good. They're keeping the clean sheets. And obviously, they've got players like Nick Pope, who picks up the bonus, and Trippier, who's such a good attacking outlet. But I think attacking-wise, we can start looking at their assets as well, because you know players like Almiron and Callum Wilson should probably be higher up our watch list than they are at the moment.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I didn't ask you how your weekend was. Did you have Newcastle players in your team? Did you have a good week?
Yeah, I had double Newcastle defence, so they weren't the best for me. I had Pope and Trippier. At one point, it was looking like they could do quite well, but obviously, Kane is inevitable. He kind of scores his one goal a game at the moment, doesn't he? But I'm very, very happy with them up until the World Cup. You know, Pope and Trippier, I know a lot of people have triple defence.
Yeah, and you're being modest. You're having a worldy FPL season, right? What's your rank?
I'm in the top 50k now, so that's good. So I'm happy with that. But yeah, I think if I stay within 50k before the World Cup starts, I'll be more than happy with that. And then kind of start the season from there again, don't you? What about you? How are you doing?
I'm looking at your score every week and trying to gain some ground off the back of your comment to me on Twitter a few weeks back, which was you were scrolling far too long to even find my team in our mini league. So I had a good week. I got 82 points with a 4-point hit. But yeah, I'm closing in slightly. I'm at 150k overall. So yeah, I'm happy. And like you, if I'm at a similar rank before the World Cup or for that unlimited transfers, I think I'll be fairly, fairly happy. I actually benched Pope this week and had Danny Ward come in. So I was happy with that. And I didn't mind Newcastle conceding despite owning Trippier. I was watching that game thinking, why are we not giving certainly the Newcastle attacking players a little bit more love in FPL? Like Almiron just looks like someone we should all own, yet just massively, massively overlooked. I think he's the second best performing mid in the game this year.
Yeah, it's so weird. He falls under the same remit as someone like Andreas Pereira, where because they're cheaper, you don't tend to get them. Like Pereira, I always bench, whereas I know a few people said, actually, this is a really good fixture you should play in this week. And I feel like Almiron's the same. I know a lot of people are getting fed up with Salah, but you don't look at Almiron as a replacement. If Almiron was 10 million, you'd probably look at him as a replacement because he's doing so well. But because he's cheaper, you always feel like you want to use that money. And there's a bit of psychology in there about whether that is the right thing to do. And obviously, Almiron, it's tough with Newcastle. I feel like at times they're becoming quite efficient as opposed to that team that you can rely on to score tons of goals in a game. So they are tough. I feel like their defence is the way I would still go in terms of upside. But like I've already said, Almiron and Callum Wilson should probably be higher up in our list than we think. Callum Wilson in particular, I'm looking at potentially losing Mitrovic next week. Not this week, but next week. And I'm looking at Scamacca. But I'm thinking, actually, Callum Wilson's probably the better way to go.
Yeah, I think so. It's Villa and Southampton up next for Newcastle. I look at that team and it's just strong throughout. Like, that arguably the best defence in the league. The attacking assets still look like they can be explosive on their day, Almiron and Wilson especially. And I just love what Eddie Howe's doing. Dan Burn's been playing left back. He's a 4.5 option we probably shouldn't overlook either. It allows Trippier to be even more advanced on the right because Burn doesn't exactly bomb forward. The midfield is so strong. I don't know if there's FPL assets in there with Bruno Guimarães and the likes of Joel Linton, but very, very good players. I think Bruno G probably gets in any Premier League team. And then up front, like Almiron looks confident. And as a confident player, he's just returning every week by the looks of it. And Wilson still might fancy his chances for a late England call. I think he's probably going to lose out to someone like Tony, who made the last squad. But it might be a really good incentive there for Wilson to put together a three-game run.
Yeah, no, I do agree. And I think the big thing with Wilson for me has always been injuries. And obviously, he seems to be okay at the moment. Rotation was always a bit of a worry because they brought Isak in for a lot of money. But obviously, he's now out until after the World Cup as well. So I feel like if you're ever going to take a move moving forward, I think Wilson, this is a good time to do it. The fixtures aren't too bad, but obviously they've got Aston Villa at home next, but with that kind of new manager bounce with Emery now going to Villa, it's going to be tough to see what's going to happen. Obviously Villa came off the best win of the season this weekend, didn't they? And then they got Southampton away and then they've got Chelsea at home. So I would say those fixtures are a bit of a mixed bag personally, with Villa now changing and we're not sure what's going to happen there. And Emery's always been a bit of a defensive coach. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go. In terms of Callum Wilson, if you were looking at that mid-price bracket for strikers, Callum Wilson's up there. I do still like Scamacca as well. And then I've seen a lot of people mentioning Calvert-Lewin as well. Obviously, Everton have got Fulham away, then they got Leicester at home, and then Bournemouth away. In terms of fixtures, they're top of the fixture ticker. Is DCL maybe sneaking into your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see. He's put together successive starts, hasn't he? Started game week 12 and then game week 13, 72 minutes, then 77. My fear with DCL, a bit like you could argue with Wilson, is that he puts together a couple of good games and then he's injured. But you simply sell him when he's injured. We shouldn't be too worried about buying him, especially knowing we have the unlimited transfers chip. So should he get injured, you're going to be able to change your team in a couple of weeks anyway. But yeah, I don't know about DCL. It's a funny one because sure, he's been very good in the past, but he still looks way short from his best. Whilst Callum Wilson looks like he's hit the ground running when he's come back from his injury, DCL has been out for a very long time. I'm not sure I'd want to give him too much. I don't think I'd be backing him too early.
Yeah, and do you know, I do trust Newcastle more than I trust Everton, although Everton are doing a better job this year than most people realise, I think. And with those three lovely fixtures, like Fulham away, obviously Fulham concede goals. Leicester do concede goals, although they've been quite good recently. And Bournemouth are just so blunt. I think they're three lovely fixtures, but it kind of brings us on to that kind of the fact that we do only have 3 weeks now until the World Cup and we've got those limited moves. We're all dead ending into game week 16. Does that change your thoughts when you're looking at players now? Like, I would never think about really getting Calvert-Lewin in if I didn't have that wild card looming in 3 weeks. Whereas now I'm looking at it thinking it could be quite a nice 3 week punt for a player that's barely owned.
Yeah, I mean, it seems crazy that we're discussing even mid-price forwards as a replacement for Mitrovic, but I can see why you're looking at that because sure, Mitrovic has Everton this week in game week 14, but his 15 and 16 fixture run is Man City and Man United. So if you're a manager that is chasing fixtures, like I'm guessing you are, Andy, and I think I'm probably falling into that category as well, then yeah, do you really want Mitro 15 and 16? No, you've probably got Andreas in your squad already as well. Do you really want double Fulham attack? Saying that, they are a team at the moment that do look like they'll score against anyone. But if you're playing the fixtures, surely you don't want Mitro for Man City away at the Etihad.
Yeah, and I think that's the big fixture. It's the fixture in game week 15 where you're looking at it and thinking, yeah, Man City away, best defence in the league. They really are. Like, and I'm just looking at it and thinking, how much are we really expecting? Whereas when you've got teams like Everton have got Leicester at home. That's quite nice. Newcastle have got Southampton away. You're looking at it and thinking those are probably better fixtures. And who is it? West Ham have got Crystal Palace at home, like I keep mentioning Scamacca as well. I think it's not a bad move, but at the same time, he's 26% owned. If he does get two penalties in those games, which he can do, you know, he's done it before this season, then it's going to hurt you. But it's just how much you fancy that risk before the World Cup starts. And there's not many opportunities to ever do this in FPL. There's not many opportunities where you can have a 3 week punt knowing everybody's starting again halfway through. It just seems like an opportunity too good to turn down. And if Mitrovic blanks in those two and you bring in a player, even if they just score one goal in the last two fixtures, I think that's a punt worth taking, isn't it?
Yeah, it might become a bit of a luxury move. I guess it depends if we've got suspensions and injuries elsewhere. What I love looking at, especially in these 3 weeks, game week 14, 15 and 16, is I think a lot of my transfers, sure, it'll be based on form and fixture, but also for me, it'll be the home advantage. I love backing players at home, especially strikers. And the thing that might stop me selling Mitrovic is that game week 16 fixture against Man United is at Craven Cottage. And I think going into that, Fulham will still back themselves, especially under Silva, Fulham attack, especially at the Cottage. So I might be put off by that 16 fixture being at Craven Cottage and go, Mitrovic's two of the last three are at home. Therefore, I'll just ride the wave of that Man City away game, knowing I either bench him or I expect 2 points, but still expect him to return in the others, maybe.
Yeah, I do agree with you in terms of it feels like a bit of a luxury move. Like if everything else is fine in your team, and you can take that punt, move a Mitrovic out for somebody with two nice fixtures in the last two, then that makes sense. But if you've got other fires to put out, Mitrovic can score against anybody. We've seen that, literally anybody in the league. And obviously he's such a good penalty taker as well. And they do get penalties. I don't think it's awful having to keep him. You know, it's not a priority move out. But the one thing you're forgetting as well, game week 16, you know, Man United are back. You know, he's not scoring against Man United. So I'm a Man United fan, by the way. So I do think it is potentially a luxury move. But if the rest of your team's looking okay, I think I'd probably do it.
Yeah, I hear that. Speaking of luxury moves, Andy, we should probably move on to Man City. Like 3-1 win against Brighton. Of course, Haaland gets the headlines. Everyone's captain. Sure, well done. I'm sure we're going to captain him for the remainder. But I just want to talk about the three Man City players we should be owning, because I went into that fixture thinking Brighton would probably get a goal. And sure, they did. And Trossard with a shot from distance. Maybe Edison should save it. But nonetheless, no clean sheet again at Man City. If I was on a wild card, and sure, it's a very luxury move to make to move my three Man City players around, I think I'd go triple Man City attack. I'd be really tempted to have KDB, Haaland and Foden, because every week they look like they're going to score three goals as a minimum.
Yeah, there's two ways you go, isn't there? You either go Haaland, Foden and KDB, or you go Haaland, Foden and Cancelo, I think.
Which I guess we both have, do we?
We both have, yeah. And I still love Cancelo. Like, his stats are down this year, but when he does well, like, I think it was only a couple of weeks ago he had an 18-pointer. True. And it absolutely kills you if you don't have him. But before that, I was looking at losing him, and it just reminds you that what kind of hauls he can get. So it's tough to go without him. But I'm not so much a KDB believer as a lot of people. I know he did well in a few games last year where he got massive hauls, especially that double game week where he got four against Wolves. But I just don't think for his price that I'd want him. In terms of a two-week punt, obviously they got Fulham at home and Brentford at home in 15 and 16. I think you might be seeing a lot of people moving off, if they've still got Salah, moving off him and going to KDB if they can. But if you've already got those three, I don't see the point in jiggling them around.
Yeah, that's my problem. I've got Salah and I would love to swap him with KDB, but we can't have four Man City assets, and I'm not sure I want to be using a luxury transfer or moving those three City players around. And as you say, Cancelo can sting you. He's 55% owned, Cancelo.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there won't be a defender in the game close to that level of ownership. And the fixtures are good. You know, Leicester, and then again, back to that home fixture swing. Man City, before the World Cup, have two homes. They play Fulham and Brentford back-to-back at the Etihad. Those two would be huge, which is why I would love that KDB, Foden and Haaland triple up.
Yeah.
But as you say, Cancelo can always get attacking returns too.
He can. And you look at those two fixtures, Fulham and Brentford, and they can easily keep clean sheets in those two, obviously. And Cancelo can easily get forward and get involved in the attack as well. And we're saying all this as if, you know, KDB might not be rested. You never know. He might get rested in a game. Foden obviously didn't play this week, which was a bit of a shocker for his new owners like myself. But in terms of Foden, you'd be expecting him to play those three games now, you would have thought. You'd be a little bit disappointed if he didn't.
Yeah, really disappointed. I mean, we both bought him in this week. I did for a hit, selling Trossard. Yeah. I think that was the first benching he's had in the Premier League all season. We were pretty much just unlucky, and hopefully that doesn't happen again before the World Cup. So, yeah, he came on, and even the 30 minutes we were getting from him, even when Foden comes on in a game, when it's a little bit more open and the other team are trying to equalise or get back into the game, you think with a player like Foden, you're still back to get points. He didn't this time round. But yeah, I'm not worried there with Foden. And I think Man City are going to get a huge amount of love between now and the World Cup. Pretty sure Haaland will be perma-captain for those three games for most managers. Are you even looking out elsewhere?
No, not at all. I know a few people are talking about Salah this week, Leeds at home, but I just can't look beyond Haaland. Now, he's going to be my captain every week now until the World Cup starts, just so the fixtures are too nice. Like, I think it has been worthwhile going against him at certain points, and usually it's for Kane, when Kane has a nice fixture and Haaland doesn't. But I think with these three fixtures coming up now, I can't go against him. Just going back to Foden again there as well, I know we brought him in last week and he was benched. A few people are probably going to be looking at bringing him in this week. Would you prioritise Foden this week, or would you prioritise Saka this week, who's home to Nottingham Forest? Because they're both pretty much exactly the same price. Saka's obviously on pens in an Arsenal team that's, you know, top of the league as well. City, though, you know, they are the team that can score 5-6 goals in a fixture, even if it is away. Who would you be prioritising if you didn't have either yet?
I still think the ceiling's higher with Foden, and I think the ceiling is higher with Man City in terms of total goals in a game. I also, you know, I think Leicester defence hasn't been great, but in recent weeks it's been a lot better. I think they've kept four clean sheets in the last five, so they're improving defensively, although some of those clean sheets have been a tad lucky. But also, Nottingham Forest have massively improved at the back. They've just kept a clean sheet against Brighton and Liverpool. So again, I don't think that Arsenal-Nottingham Forest fixture is perhaps the fixture we thought it would have been 3-4 weeks ago. That could be way, way tighter. So I'd still go Foden all day long. I still think Saka's a really nice buy, but Foden is still a level apart in terms of the team he's playing in. That potential ceiling for a 15-pointer for Foden just for me is so much higher.
Yeah, I mean, penalties do really help with Saka as well. And you look at that first fixture at Nottingham Forest at home, and although they've been improving, I think Arsenal have been improving a lot as well in terms of how they can break these teams down. And I think, you know, Nottingham Forest at home is probably still the easiest fixture this year. Probably Bournemouth, you know, joint there. But I think I think in terms of if you were just looking at 1 week, I think I prioritise Saka, but I think I actually agree with you. I think I'd be getting Foden in first just because you have him then. You know, you've got him then for those lovely three fixtures, and you never know what happens. Like the next week, all of a sudden someone's injured. Look at Solanke this week. All of a sudden people have lost an option. And I think you want to make sure you've got Foden in your team for those last three fixtures. So I think I'd prioritise that as well. I don't know what your move is this week, but I think I'm probably going to do Bowen to Saka because I already have Foden. And losing Bowen feels a bit funny, but he kind of confirmed last night that he wouldn't be on pens. And obviously they got Man United away next. So it feels okay, but the next two fixtures are gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a hard one with Bowen and pens because sure, Benrahma took the pen and is a good penalty taker. And we've seen Declan Rice miss penalties and, you know, Bowen too. But Benrahma's not always on the pitch. So I don't think the penalty appeal is enough reason to keep him, knowing he goes to Old Trafford. And as you say, that fixture is still very nice for Arsenal. And I think if I had Bowen, I'd be making the same move as you. I've got three premium attackers. I've got a premium team at the moment with Kane, Salah and Haaland. And what that leaves me with is very few players in that mid-price bracket, which I can move between. So I've got Foden, but then outside of that, you know, it's Martinelli and Andreas and Leon Bailey, players like that. So yeah. Because I don't have money in the bank either, I'm kind of a little bit more restricted. And that's one of the drawbacks of having a premium draft. You can't move between those mid-price players. But it's a compromise I've been willing to take because having Kane has been quite a nice differential. It feels like a differential. Sure, he's around 20% owned. But in all my mini leagues, very few have Kane because they've all gone Salah and Haaland. I've currently got Kane, Haaland and Salah. And the one I'm looking to sell first will be Salah. I think I'll give in the Leeds game, but then it's Tottenham and Southampton before the World Cup. And I don't know if there's a direct replacement there. If you've already got three City and it's not KDB, I can't go there, as I've said. But I don't know what to do with Salah. I really don't. I mean, I need him to score against Leeds or I think I'll be selling. Are you looking at where you'll get rid of him or do you think you're committed between now and the World Cup?
I think I'm probably committed, to be honest. I think I took a hit to get him in. I sold Kane and I brought Salah in for the blank game week, looking at those fixtures and thinking, yeah, that's fine. It's a shot I'm willing to take because a low-owned Salah is a bit of a gift in terms of we know he can explode and we know he's on penalties as well. Yeah. But Liverpool just don't, they don't look the same either. I think he was at times playing centrally, at times playing in, out wide. And I'm just looking at the fixtures. If you got told that you had Salah 3 weeks until the World Cup, Leeds at home, Spurs away, which is meh, but then Southampton at home, they're just lovely fixtures. And I don't think I'd be having to take a hit to get him out for Kane because Kane's the one I would want if I wanted to make that move. I can't get to KDB either. If you could get to KDB, I think you'd have a real decision on your hands as to whether you made that move after this week. But if you can't move him around like that, I think you just hold him. And I think you just hold him knowing that you can get rid of him during the World Cup and you can start without him. Because I can tell you now, I'm not going to be having him after the World Cup at this rate. Although he's going to be well rested, Liverpool just look all over the place. So I think I'm going to be holding him.
I think I'll probably end up doing the same. And I wonder if I'm blinkered by price too much because there's no direct replacement and it'd leave me with 5-6 million in the bank if I sold Salah to Almiron, for example. But that's just not a move I see myself making. If I didn't have Kane or I could get to KDB, maybe I'd have that dilemma. But at the moment, knowing I can't get to KDB and I've already got Kane, unfortunately, the likes of Bruno at United or Sterling or Mason Mount at Chelsea, I feel like these aren't reliable enough to come off Salah for.
No, shame. And that's the biggest problem. And that's probably been the biggest problem this season is that a lot of those premiums just aren't doing anything. Like Sterling, we've been waiting for. He hasn't done anything yet. Son is the biggest one. Yeah. Son was the game breaker last year and he just looks a shadow of himself at the moment. And like you've already said, I still don't know whether I put KDB in that bracket in terms of performing like someone like Haaland or someone like Kane is at the moment either. He's not been that consistent player. So the fact that I'm considering him means that all the others are really not doing much. I think holding Salah is absolutely fine unless you've got an easy way to get to Kane. If you've got two free transfers and you can get to Kane this week, I don't think that's a bad move.
I can hear you're not overly pro De Bruyne and I get it. A lot of managers are kind of one way or another with De Bruyne. I love him as an FPL option. Mm. He's the top scoring midfielder in the game on 70 points. And just knowing that he now has arguably the world's best forward, world's best player, you could say, in Haaland. That dynamic duo, that chemistry, I think for the second half of the season will be unstoppable. And knowing he's now got someone that can get on the end of all of that creativity that we've seen from KDB over the years, I just think it makes KDB an even better asset this season with Haaland. And he's someone, yeah, when I'm on my unlimited transfer chip during the World Cup, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be going De Bruyne and Haaland as a double up. I'm desperate to have them both, yeah.
And Foden.
Possibly Foden, yeah. I guess I'll be looking at the fixtures if I want the triple up. It'll be Foden or Cancelo. Almost certainly I'll go for Triple City. And yeah, until the league has won, I want Triple City. If they win the league early and with four or five games to spare, maybe you come off them as Pep maybe looks to rotate if they've got the Champions League to play. But at the moment, yeah, that's a team that I want to go really big on. And you can't go bigger than Foden, KDB and Haaland on one team.
No, not at all. And the biggest thing is there are so many people out there with Man City defence. You know, they are the best defence and they do have defenders that can attack as well. And obviously Cancelo is the big one. So it's, would you be tempted to go Haaland, KDB, Cancelo and just skip Foden altogether?
Yeah, and that's where I was at a couple of weeks ago. If it wasn't for Man City having that blank game week, I'd still have that triple and I would have had KDB's points in recent weeks. But like many, I made the move from KDB to Salah, was left with two City for the City blank. And then as soon as City played again, it was need to get that third City asset, take a hit for Foden. You have to have Triple City at all times. That's kind of what I've been going off this season. And then, of course, Foden was benched. But yeah, if I could swap Foden for KDB back, I would. And I know when I was on KDB 3, 4, 5 weeks ago and Foden was outperforming him at times, it looked like money well saved. But I still think over a long period, you want Kevin De Bruyne over Foden. Fair enough for those short stints, those 2-3 week spells, he might have the edge. But if you go over a long period of time, and so far it tells us in the points, De Bruyne is the best performing midfielder in the game. Over a long stretch, he's the one you want.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think it's also been tougher because of those other mid-price midfielders as well, isn't it? Like you've got players like Zaha, who's on pens, Bowen, who was on pens, and you've got those players, even Andreas Pereira, dare we say it, who's obviously done quite well as well, who has a lot of access to points and his set pieces too. And I think a lot of us have been getting those five players, at least four players, but some of us have been stretching to five players in midfield that are performing just as well as KDB in this period. And it's really tough, but it is his ability to explode in any given game week. Like it's always those kind of players you need to be looking at. And he is capable of doing it because Man City are one of the only teams in the league that can win 7-8-0 in a game week, aren't they? So you want to have those players in your team. I completely agree with you, though, that you need to be having the triple Man City after the World Cup. And now, really, I would say, because those fixtures are just too nice and they are the best team in the league. But Arsenal are the same. I mean, if you had to go with that triple Arsenal, who would be your three Arsenal you would own? Because that's quite a contentious subject as well. Because I know a few people are different to the way I view it.
Yeah, I think again, come the unlimited transfers, we'll all come January or just after Christmas, we'll all have triple Arsenal and triple City in our teams. At the moment, I'd probably go Martinelli and Saka with a defender. If I can afford Saliba, maybe Saliba. If Zinchenko's fit, maybe Zinchenko. But probably you'll be settling for a 4.5 Ben White. I don't think I'd be going with Gabby Jesus. I think Martinelli Saka over Jesus at the moment for me is where I'm at.
Oh, you've done the same as me. Oh, I wanted you to go different. Yeah, I know. So Jesus, I don't see the love for Jesus at the moment. Obviously, he's up front in a team that is doing very well and top of the league. But I think he's kind of reverting a little bit back to what he was at Man City in terms of, is he a good finisher? We're not sure. Like, obviously, he had that fantastic game against Leicester in game week 3 or 4. I can't remember which one it was now. But apart from that, he's kind of flattered to deceive quite a lot. And I think with Saka on penalties, he is 100% the way I'd be going. Martinelli is just ridiculous value. And then I think I would probably want a slice of pie of that defence. You know, I would want someone like Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko, someone like that, especially after the World Cup when everybody's fit again. And Ben White has done incredibly well for his price. You know, he got an assist this week as well. Yeah. I think if I could stretch, I'd go for Gabriel because of his goal threat. But I think I would probably have Saka, Martinelli and then one of the defenders and skip Jesus altogether.
Yeah, he does seem to need a ton of chances. I saw a stat the other day. His time in the Premier League, it's something like he needs 1.4 XG for every goal he scores. And when you watch those games, you see it. You see him miss tons of chances. Is he an out-and-out nine? I'm not so sure. And we saw him play wide right a lot at City and do very well. And look, managers love him. His work rate's brilliant. He can press from the front. His hold-up play is good. He's strong. I think he's a leader on the pitch too. And he can finish okay. But is he an elite number nine? No, he's not. And I think Saka probably has more routes to goals with the set piece threat as well.
Yeah. And I mean, somebody we haven't mentioned, which I know a few people loved owning him this week, is that Xhaka as well. Obviously, he is getting forward a little bit more and he scored this week and he's been really good this year in terms of attacking returns. But using up another midfield spot seems rough, doesn't it? In terms of, would you, because Saka and Martinelli, I feel like are such good assets to own moving forward. Would you ever consider Saka, Martinelli and Xhaka, or Xhaka instead of one of the two?
I don't think I would. And it's funny, if Martinelli wasn't in the game and or was listed as a forward, maybe you would. You'd go Saka and Xhaka, but having triple Arsenal midfield seems too many. We've only got five slots. And there are also so many good value midfielders this year. We can't forget Andreas Pereira is cheaper than Xhaka and outperforming him. Now, if Andreas Pereira was 6-7 million, I still think he'd be in a lot of our teams. Leon Bailey's done well this last week. Iwobi's now coming into the mix at Everton. They've got good fixtures. He's reinvented himself, playing in a midfield three, but with license to get forward, Frank Lampard kind of style. I think there's better options than Xhaka, despite in isolation him being a good pick.
Yeah, and a team we haven't really mentioned that much either, that have lovely fixtures until the World Cup, West Ham at home, Aston Villa away, Fulham away, is, you know, Man United. And they've got some midfielders that we could go with as well. Rashford, probably one of the best value players in the game, or could be one of the best value players in the game, hasn't quite got his shooting boots on at the moment, and we do seem quite toothless at times in front of goal. But with players like, you know, him, Anthony, we've got Sancho, I guess, Bruno, who's a little bit more expensive. Are they in your thoughts at all? Because those fixtures are nice and we're definitely turning a little bit of a corner at the moment.
Yeah, I like the Rashford pick at 6.6, listed as a midfielder playing as number nine. He is the only one I'd be looking at because he's cheaper than the others and higher up the pitch. He also looks like he's going to be starting every game between now and the World Cup as the nine, right? We know what's been going on with Ronaldo, Martial out injured. I'm not sure Rashford will be a pick come January. I expect United to buy a striker. But for now, the fixtures are there. I don't love the West Ham fixture. I think West Ham, Moyes going back to Old Trafford, you know, they can do very well defensively, West Ham, on any given game. But then it's Aston Villa and Fulham. Yeah, Rashford's an okay pick. I just think I've got probably other priorities. But absolutely, if you've got him in your team, you hold him. And if you can easily accommodate him as that luxury move, I think you go there. 6.6 playing as the number nine. I just want to see him a bit more composed in front of goal, Andy. I know a lot have said this about Rashford in years gone by, and he hits the ball so clean from 30 yards. You see him score worldies, free kicks, top corners, swaz on the ball. But when he's one-on-one with the goalkeeper, he still hits the ball with his laces and seems to not score. I just want some composure.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And that's what United are kind of struggling with a little bit at the moment at times is composure. You know, we do seem to create an awful lot, and the midfield is sorting itself out and we're creating for the players up top. But United have such parallels with Chelsea at the moment in terms of there's a lot of toil in midfield and they don't have that person up top that is consistently going to get them the goals. And I think it's such stark contrast with Haaland in terms of Haaland can have six touches in a game and score two goals. Whereas, you know, Rashford's getting all these chances but just can't seem to convert. And actually, when I'm looking at the fixtures, you've already mentioned it a bit with West Ham, then Villa. I don't see those being massively high-scoring games. And if they're not high-scoring games, I think there are other players that are probably more of a priority. We've already mentioned players like Foden and Saka. The upside just seems far higher if you don't have those players. And even Zaha. Zaha's got Southampton, then West Ham, then Nottingham Forest. I think I'd still prefer to own Zaha over someone like Rashford. I know he's a little bit more money, but it just feels like you'd be getting more attacker returns from him.
Is the value in United at the back? Because Diogo Dalot has been so good. And again, only 10% owned, which for a United player performing well is really low. Because we know with ownership on United players, because they've got so many fans, it's often a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Fair few clean sheets, gets forward, plays 90 every week. I really like Diogo Dalot. And I think, again, he'll be someone I'm looking at probably on that unlimited transfers chip.
Yeah, he's the one. In terms of value at the back, I think that's where you'd be looking because he does get forward, he does cross the ball. Passing would be a little bit wayward at times, but you just need him to get one good crossing in a game and he gets you a potential 12-pointer. So I think that is the way I'd be looking. Shaw has obviously made his way back into the team now as well, but he's a bit more expensive. So I think Dalot's the way I'd be looking. I think a lot of people would be looking at someone like Lisandro Martinez because they love him so much. But I don't think he's the type of player you want to be owning in fantasy football, to be honest, because he's such a bruising, impose himself on the game. He's going to be getting booked and things like that, isn't he? So I think Dallow's the way you want to be looking personally.
Yeah, it's funny, at the back, there seems to be some really good value options. And we've moved away from the likes of Trent, Reece James obviously injured. Sure, we've got Cancelo and Trippier's gone up in price. But outside of Cancelo and Trippier, are there any other premium defenders you've looked at? Because for me, like, you look at some of those budget guys, the likes of Kurt Zouma or Dallow, or, you know, even Lewis Dunk, I got an 8-pointer from the other day. They're performing those 4.5 options.
They really are. And because we're focusing so much on our midfield and our strikers at the moment, it's almost like old FPL. This is what FPL used to be like. You didn't used to put a lot of money into your defence. It used to be get those budget players in, hope they keep a clean sheet, and then you just rely on your midfielders and strikers. And I think we're almost going towards that, because Trent, we can't trust Liverpool to keep clean sheets at the moment. And they used to be keeping kind of 19, 20 a season, which was so massive with his attacking returns as well. And you're looking, and like you said, at those budget players, and you can't rely on them for attack and returns every week, but they're kind of proving to be better value, especially with where we want to spend our funds. So I think it's going to be interesting after the wild card. It's going to be interesting to see what people do with their back lines, because for me, I think Cancelo is still a lock. I still think he would be one of my three Man City players. And after that, it's Trippier, and I don't see a lot of high upside defenders. You know, it should be players like Perisic, should be players like TAA, but they're just not performing as the way we want them to. So, yeah, I think, and you know, Leicester have obviously done really well recently, players like Castagna, but they've got Man City at home next, and then Everton away and West Ham away. So the fixtures kind of dry up now. So, yeah, I think someone like Dallow would be quite good moving forward. And I think a lot of people will be having maybe one premium, Trippier, and then the rest of it's going to be quite cheap.
Yeah, we both benefited from a Zouma haul on Monday night. He goes to Old Trafford, but then he's got two homes in Crystal Palace and Leicester. Again, like, I'm expecting a clean sheet or two in those two games before the World Cup. So we're getting good value from those budget options. We also have a 3.9 million option that's starting for Wolves. Hugo Bueno is a player I bought last week just for bench fodder, but as a 3.9 starter, again, a nice luxury to have in FPL. A bit like having someone like Danny Ward in goal on your bench or starting, having these 4 million options or 3.9 defenders, you're kind of needing your squad. And at the moment, because we're dead-ending our teams to the World Cup, we don't need big benches. So I'm looking to thin down that squad, get all my money in my 11. So if you have to buy an enabler or two to make things happen in your 11, don't be put off by the likes of a Ward or a Bueno.
Yeah, no, definitely. Don't get me wrong. I think if you had two free transfers and you wanted to free up some money, then yes, you can bring in a player like Bueno, but I wouldn't be making that move, you know, with the 3 weeks left, because you're just not going to, you're not going to have enough moves to make that move make sense, if that makes sense. So yes, if you've got the two free transfers and you're wanting to get rid of Trent, for instance, and go to Bueno, then obviously you can upgrade to somebody quite big in midfield or up top. But it's just fun having a 3.9 million defender that's playing. And Wolves obviously can be fairly good defensively, although they got absolutely destroyed by Leicester this weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, you got 0 points, Bueno, but it's 3.9 million.
Yeah, exactly, good value.
I had to make that move to accommodate Foden. It was the only way I could go Trossard to Foden was a downgrade. And that's how much I believe in that Man City attack, that I was faced with a week going into a fixture at the Etihad against a Brighton team that play good football but will leave spaces with only double City. And I just think, I don't like telling people how to play the game. I don't like using the term must-haves or things like that. But one thing I think we all absolutely need is triple City. You just have to have them. So I was willing to take a 4-point hit for a 3.9 option just to get Foden, who was benched, which was very disappointing. But over the long run, that move will pay off, I'm sure.
You mentioned benching there. I know a lot of people left a lot of points on their bench this week.
Yeah,
Andreas Pereira being one of them as well. Are we, because you've already mentioned about trying to slim your squad down quite a bit and trying to take money out of that bench. And I think that's really important. You know, a lot of people bench players like Trossard this week, who obviously returned. Andreas Pereira got two assists. Neco Williams somehow got a clean sheet as well. It probably is important moving forward, especially if you do have two free transfers, something like that, to try and not have those playing players on your bench, not playing players, but those high performing players on your bench, isn't it? Because you get a week like this. My friend had 36 points on the bench this week. I think he only scored 42 points altogether. So it could be a killer, can't it?
It can. I mean, I was really happy with my game week, but I still look at it and go, what could have been better? Because I had Leon Bailey's 13 points and Nico Williams' 6 on my bench. Now, the Williams benching is fine. I don't think anyone was thinking they would start Williams against Liverpool. And no one expected that clean sheet. But someone like a Leon Bailey, you actually look at and go, oh, new manager, Gerrard's just left. It's a home fixture against Brentford, who are okay. But and 13 points. Fortunately, I played Andreas. And I do think some of these players, Andreas Pereira is a prime example. We mentioned it earlier. If he was 6-7 million, not only would he still be in all our teams, he'd be in our 11s. We're benching him often because of the price. And I think we have to ignore that. This is a consistent performer. Fulham under Silva, a team that really have a go against anyone. 5 assists and a goal this season. That's 6 attacking involvements. That's 50% of his games. Every other game, he registers an attacking involvement. You're very happy with that. From a 7-8 million asset, you're getting it from a budget midfielder. So Andreas is someone that I'm very happy to have in my 11. And I think my hand's been forced a little bit at times because I have 3 premiums. I have Kane and Salah as well as Haaland. It means my squad's not the strongest, and therefore my 10th or 11th player are often players that others would bench, but I would start. So I started Zouma and Andreas, for example, this week. Yeah. For many teams, he'd probably be on their benches.
So you're getting lucky, is what you're saying?
I'm trusting the process of I'm trusting the process of budget players delivering. And I think when we look back at the week just gone, like Danny Ward's a prime example in goal, 4 clean sheets in 5. Zouma's playing well. Andreas Pereira's playing really well. You've got the likes of Iwobi, even the likes of Almiron. This game isn't all about the premiums. It's not all about those mid-price midfielders that we think we've got so many, the Madisons, Bowens, Mounts, Fodens. But actually, it's often about the enablers as well. And this season, there are very good enablers and a lot of them.
So big question for you then. There's a lot of people out there that are just like me, have Bowen in their team. He's got a horrible fixture this week, potentially getting rid of him for Saka or Foden or whoever it is. Do we delay that, keep our free transfer and have 2 free transfers next week and just play Pereira against Everton at home?
Yeah, I think Pereira, Everton at home is a brilliant fixture. He'll be in my 11. Yeah, he's a lock in my 11. I back Fulham at home always. And that Pereira-Mitrovic double up's pretty nice, knowing Pereira's on the vast majority of set pieces, even with Willian in the team. So yeah. Pereira at home, I always like to play.
Oh, see, and I'm there thinking Bowen to Saka, and obviously I got Saka for Nottingham Forest at home. I still, because I'm going to have Pereira on the bench. He's going to be first on my bench. And I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be messaging you after it all happens saying, brilliant, got 10 points on my bench again. And you're going to have him in your team, aren't you?
Yeah, and Everton concede chances. I know they've been keeping quite a few clean sheets, but Pickford's been inspired at times this season and kept them in a lot of games. And I just expect that Fulham team against Everton to score a couple. I really do. And when they score, Mitrovic is always involved and Pereira's involved 9 times out of 10. That's how it feels.
Mm. Yeah. And all right then, so let's make you eat your words, because the team that is top of the fixture ticket is Everton. So Everton have Fulham away, then they got Leicester at home and then Bournemouth away. Players like Iwobi, you mentioned Iwobi before. Are these players starting to creep into your watch list? Because I'm still finding it very, very hard to put Everton players on my watch list. Players like Iwobi, who I just feel like he doesn't get in the box enough, and he doesn't. Yes, he had a really good game the other day. That little back heel, can't remember who the assist was for, Gordon or something like that. I can't remember who it was now, but it's lovely. You know, he is playing well, and like you said, maybe he's been given free rein a little bit. And sometimes I could be slow on the uptake on these kind of players. I was like it with Gundogan a couple of years ago when it was looking like he was going to be that player, and he did turn out to be that player for about 6-7 weeks. But I'm just looking and thinking, Gordon, Iwobi, obviously I've mentioned Calvert-Lewin already. They've got Pickford, who has, like you said, been inspired at times this season. Can you start bringing those players into your team?
I think Iwobi you can. I'm not sure about the others. It's funny because when we see players that play in a midfield 3 like Iwobi, often a number 8, we look at midfielders and go, oh, when you're a midfielder in FPL, we want our wide forwards. And so many of the midfielders we pick actually don't play in midfield. They play on the wing, right? They're much more attacking. Iwobi is playing central in a midfield 3. But he's getting a little bit more license to get in the box. And now that midfield 3 at Everton seems set. They've got Gay, who sits really nicely. They've got Onana, who can do a lot of the running and be box to box. Leaving Iwobi with kind of that more creative role, that more De Bruyne role, if you like. And he's carrying the ball, he's playing between the lines. Yeah, they're not playing quite De Bruyne levels, but yeah. he's been given more responsibility within that team. And he is playing between the lines and he is carrying the ball and he is shooting a little bit. And he looks like he's got a bit of swagger, which we've not seen with Iwobi. I think he started every Premier League game this season. He's only been substituted once in game week 12. So he's pretty nailed for 90 and he's 5.5 million and the fixtures are there. Look, I'm not ready to trust a Calvert-Lewin. I'm not sure even Gordon is going to start absolutely every game. I owned Gordon a few weeks ago and he had a benching for Dwight McNeil, who played really well as his replacement. There's value in the defence and I think there could be value in an Iwobi, but again, it feels like a move that I don't need to make and it doesn't feel like a massive upside move.
I think I'd be going the opposite way. I think I'd be going for a Calvert-Lewin. I think because I've got the three up top, so I've got Haaland, Tony and Mitrovic at the moment. Yeah. I feel like moving off of one of Tony or Mitrovic because Brentford have Nottingham Forest in game week 15. So I feel like I need to keep him for that fixture. And obviously got Wolves this week as well. So I feel like keeping Tony for the next 2 weeks is fine. But it's that Mitrovic move. I just feel like that's a good opportunity to move off. And then Calvert-Lewin, if you can get the Calvert-Lewin, I think that's a fun gamble to have. Like Fulham away, Leicester at home, Bournemouth away. Three teams that at points this season have been terrible defensively. I know Leicester have improved, but Leicester at home, you'd fancy Everton to maybe get a goal or two. I feel like Calvert-Lewin's the way I would go out of him. Iwobi, I think if we were really struggling for midfield options and we didn't have a Pereira, I feel like he would be that really nice fourth or fifth mid that you could have in your teams. And it would just be a bit of a gamble. And I don't even know what his ownership is. It must be 1 or 2%, you would have thought. But Calvert-Lewin must be extremely low as well. And imagine moving off someone like Mitrovic, who doesn't get anything in the last two games, and having Calvert-Lewin. I feel like that's a lovely little move.
0.4% Calvert-Lewin. Is he? That is, knowing at times last season he was around 30-40%, wasn't he? Yeah. So we know he's been a player with a lot of love. 7.9 million.
Still on pens.
Yeah. I think a lot might depend on how Bournemouth play between now and game week 16. If we see Bournemouth conceding tons of goals in 14 and 15 for a 1 week punt, maybe to go Calvert-Lewin against Bournemouth just before the World Cup, that could be fun. Because Bournemouth, under Gary O'Neill, they started really well defensively and they looked quite good. And now they're starting to concede a few. I mean, I'm hoping we see a bit of fun for Spurs. Harry Kane versus Bournemouth, who I own for the weekend coming up in game week 14. But yeah, I think we need to see how they look. And we might be picking Calvert-Lewin based on his opposition rather than just based in the team he plays for.
Yeah. So in terms of moving forward then for your team next week, you've got one free transfer. How are you looking at using it?
Yeah, I'm looking at rolling because I want to be able to start the likes of Andreas. And if I make a transfer, there's a chance he's then for demoted to the bench. So I'm happy with my 15, although as always, we could see injuries from European fixtures this week. And with the schedule at the moment, I'm looking at leaving my transfers as late as possible. I'm making Friday and Saturday morning moves, even ignoring price rises because of the fear of injuries in European games. So yeah, I'll be looking to roll, and then it allows me to maybe be creative with two free transfers for game week 15, knowing I have Salah and Kane and they play each other, and that's not a game I see too many goals in. I might look to move one of those guys on with two transfers in mind. So yeah, I'm excited about having two free moves, which will be a 2 week punt, which will be really fun.
No, fair enough. I think I'm pretty set on doing Bowen to Saka. I feel like I really want Saka and Martinelli for that Nottingham Forest fixture. Because although Nottingham Forest have improved recently defensively and obviously kept those two clean sheets, I feel like Arsenal at home will probably be a step too far to get another clean sheet. So I expect a goal and I expect Saka or Martinelli to be involved in some way. So I think that's fine for me. And then benching Pereira. So like I said, we're going to be, I'm sure I'll be messaging you about that one. After that, I think I'm going to ditch Mitrovic. I think I will. I think I'll take that gamble. And people are going to hate it because people are right. He can score against absolutely anybody. But I do like those opportunities where he's got not nice fixtures. He's highly owned. And if he blanks, I feel like I can take that opportunity. Even if I get in another player and they blank as well, I just feel like that opportunity is there to go against him. So someone like Calvert-Lewin, Scamacca, Wilson. I feel like I'll probably bring those in. I'm tempted by Calvert-Lewin, though. Now I've mentioned it on the pod, I might go there. I don't know.
It could be loads of fun, especially against Bournemouth. I like your move this week. I think I'll be making the same move, Bowen Saka. Yeah. But I would make sure somehow I've got Andreas in my 11 for that home fixture at the Cottage. So I don't know if you'll be able to make that work. I guess as a final point, Andy, I want to just, we're 3 weeks away from the FIFA World Cup. What's your take on players preparing for a World Cup? Because there's a massive carrot for some players. So the likes of, say, a Calvert-Lewin or a Wilson might believe they can get on the plane, although Tony looks favourite to get that last striker spot. But there might be other players that perhaps take their foot off the gas out of fear of, say, being injured. For example, Mitrovic has had a massive knock. We know he's the main man for Serbia. Maybe come game week 15, 16, he's going, I've got a knock here and I'm not willing to go at 100%. And then you've got the other side of the coin, players that don't have a World Cup at all, like an Almiron or a Salah or a Haaland, who are just going to be able to play knowing they've got a month off and go full throttle. Yeah. Are you thinking about your moves around players based on their time at the World Cup?
Not really. I think you can make FPL really hard and you can make it really tricky. And I think if you're looking into that as well and stopping yourself from getting players in that have nice fixtures that are in good teams because you're worried about their World Cup, I think you're thinking about it too much. I think the only thing for me that it could change my thinking a little bit is if a player's got a little niggle, got a little injury, and it's whether they're going to say, right, yeah, we're not going to risk you. You look at players like Varane went off this week, and he's thinking, literally, you can see it in his face, that he's not thinking about being out for United. He's thinking about missing the World Cup. And I feel like that's where players might say, look, I've got a little niggle. It's not working. You've got a replacement for me. Just don't worry about me for a couple of weeks kind of thing. I think that's the only thing I can see happening. I'd be really surprised if players, not down tools, but if players don't make that extra run like they maybe have been because of the World Cup, I'd be quite surprised. And, you know, you got players like Kane, you know, he won't do that. You know, he's always going for as many goals as possible. And it's the same with pretty much everybody as well. So I'd be very, very surprised. Mitrovic is an interesting case because he has looked a little bit injured. I went to the Bournemouth game and he wasn't running like he normally does. So it's whether he's just managed a little bit more in terms of, you know, just be a Haaland, be that person that's in the box all the time, holds up play a little bit, brings other players in, and then you can have those shots when you need to and you can score those penalties like he does all the time as well. So I don't think it's going to factor into my thinkings too much. It's just going to be if a player's injured, maybe they're going to stay injured for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. And you're right about the classic case of overthinking. Us FPL managers, myself included, very guilty of overthinking more often than not. I think for me, it will be the players that perhaps think they've still got a glimmer of hope that they can get a call up. And England's a fascinating case. You know, James Maddison will still think there is a tiny, small chance he gets the call up. And I think the likes of Wilson and Calvert-Lewin might think the same. Tony, again, looks favourite to get a call up. He's got a huge incentive to play really well in the next 2-3 games. It'll be interesting, but I think you're probably right. Probably me overthinking with a few of those calls.
Well, I think that kind of rounds us up. But Gianni, I hope you've enjoyed our little chat today.
Yeah, mate, had loads of fun. We've not podded too much in the past together, so I look forward to doing this again sometime. It was good fun.
Yeah, definitely. And for all those listening, thank you so much for joining us today for our Off the Bench podcast. We usually come out on a Monday or a Tuesday, depending on when the game week finishes, so make sure you join us again soon. Me and Gianni will hopefully be on again at another point. Enjoy your game week, and we hope all your arrows are green. Thank you very much for joining us. Bye-bye.
See ya.